come together.
Blog Talk Radio.
Let's read our goals.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing, share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to all you beautiful souls out there. And we're going to do some joint rolling in just a moment. But I want to read something from my meditation this morning. I read three meditation books every morning. And that's what gives me the energy, the inspiration, the motivation, and the knowledge that I need to share with you. So today is February 4th. Along the Path to Enlightenment is this book by David Hawkins. It's quotes from David Hawkins, Daily Reflections, 365 Days. And this is really thought-provoking for us to think about as we go through the next couple of hours, I believe, talking about health equity and minority disparities. This is Black History Month, so I wanted to start off February with some wisdom and knowledge about minorities and the situations going on in our planet in health in general. But reading from Along the Path to Enlightenment, it says the capacity to recognize the truth is a potential within human consciousness. Let me read that again. The capacity to recognize the truth is a potential within human consciousness. And the combined intention of the consciousness of all people in that direction intensifies the overall field. In other words, this quantum field that we live in with stars and birds and bees and sky, it is intensified when we begin to recognize, quote, truth. And it ends with, at some intuitive level, at some gut level, everybody knows that truth supports life and falsity brings death. So we're going to talk about what's going on as far as death, especially because we had a beautiful woman former Miss America die, and on Monday, Zelda and her executive producer talked about suicide. And I have some more information to add to what Zelda and Naima covered about that death. And so as this book shares with us, everyone knows that truth supports life and falsity brings death. Well, there were a lot of false ideas that this woman had, Miss America, former Miss America had about her life and herself that I want to share with you that caused her death, in my opinion. And we want your opinion, too, because you are important. I already know what I think, but I want to know what you think today. So that's kind of an introduction to health equity and minority disparities, because unfortunately, we have to look at people like the former Miss America. I'll tell you her name in a minute. What happened that she took her own life? And I'm going to share with you that. But it's a lesson for all of us because we can learn from every experience. Every death can teach us something. So we can kind of celebrate that she brought us a powerful lesson. Not that she died. There are so many people grieving, and we just send all our love and compassion to her family. So many people grieving her death because she was known worldwide, and she was popular, beautiful being on the outside. Inside. So we want to learn from her suicide, how to prevent it, what happened on some levels, not all levels, because we won't know the whole story, but on some level, we're going to know what happened to her psyche. Remember, it's about consciousness and knowing the truth brings life, and living the truth brings life, but falsity brings death. So what's the difference between true or false? That's what we're going to talk about today. Health equity and minority disparities, because there's a lot of videos out there about health equity and minority disparities. And this is Black History Month. So I'm celebrating my African heritage this month as well as my other heritage, because that's me. And you should be celebrating all of you, not just part of you. So let's do some joint rolling. We came here to do joint rolling, right? To get high on life, on ourselves, on this body. Joint rolling is all about activating the synovial fluid, the liquid crystals inside of us. We have the truth is in this body. When we talk about falsity and truth, you cannot debate the functioning of the human body. Now, we've got a lot of people who've been spreading lies about the viruses around us, but we're going to correct some of that today as well. But the truth is you can't deny when you eat and swallow, what happens in the body? Because it happens to all of us on some level. So that's a truth we promote here on Health and Well-Being with Viata every Friday morning. Truth about this vessel of love, this vessel of truth, this vessel of joy, and so many more. But we want to promote the synovial fluid by rolling joints and creating in this body homeostasis and balance. That's what we're doing. So I'm going to turn on my music that I love that doesn't get censored. I play music on my other shows and my yoga class, and they mute it because it's copyright issues. But thank goodness the Sounds of Blackness music is not copyrighted. So far, this is my best choice for joint rolling. So let's start off with some neck rolling, then some shoulder rolling, and then we're going to get down on our back. Okay, lots of things going on. Going to get on our back and start our ankle and wrist. So let's start our music, and we're going to get busy with our neck rolling first.
warfare, sisters and brothers, yeah.
Oh,
Love is the cure. We're squeezing and loving on the vagus nerve area from the brain stem all the way down to the rest of the body. You start that act, you motivate, you massage that activation of the vagus nerve by just massaging the back of the neck, around the ears, get the lymphatic system going. Don't touch, pat on the chest, thymus gland here, love, love, love. This is the love we need every day. First, love yourself around the abdomen, back, butt. Woo-hoo-hoo. We are ready to go. Give yourself a hand as we put everything back in my studio, my table. We're going to go back up to the table. I'm going to get off the floor and take you up to my studio. Yes, we are here on the patio. We're on the patio. I should be up higher, but I didn't bring my books today. I don't have anything to prop everything up on. Oh, wait a minute. Let me do this, maybe. Okay, we're going to try and prop me up a little bit. So I'm at, there we go. That's a little better. Kind of wobbly, but I think it is. All right, here we go. Hallelujah. Thank you. That's my Sherman J. Howard poster. That's my dad. He was an athlete. That's who inspired me to do what I do this morning. So welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining me in Facebook land and in the Blog Talk Radio studio. We're going to talk about, we're going to encourage you to discuss with me, because I want your beliefs about all this, health equity and minority disparities. I didn't even know these terms really existed until I started my search on YouTube and found all these this interesting information on health equity and disparities. But before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about Chesley Crist. Chesley Crist passed away last week. I believe it was on January 30th. She jumped from, evidence shows that she jumped from a building of her apartment or somewhere high tower. Chesley Crist was a 30-year-old lawyer, model, former pageant winner, Miss America. And we find out from her, since her death, that she was suffering from something that her mother revealed called deep depression, some type of deep depression that she was suffering with. But she wrote an article in 2021 that kind of reveals her struggle. And I want to start out with this so we can ascend from this information about a beautiful young woman who didn't want to live. And remember what I read earlier is that falsity brings death. When we live in a world that's not true to the love and the compassion, wisdom of our Creator who gave us this body, then this is what can happen to human souls, psyches. They think they need to end their life. And sadly, that's what happened in her case. So former Miss USA Chesley Crist wrote an essay on getting older. She was 30 years old, but she's writing an essay on getting older. Why was she at 30 concerned about getting older? Well, she writes in this North Carolina a magazine called Allure. Someone posted this on internet. It was an essay about the challenges of growing older in the public eye. Each time I say I'm turning 30, she said, I cringe a little. Sometimes I can successfully mask this uncomfortable response with excitement. Other times my enthusiasm feels hollow, like bad acting. This is her words now, a year ago, almost a year to the date of her death. And she says, society has never been kind to those growing old, especially women. This is a 30-year-old perspective. Now, I'm 67, and I could give a fine F about what society thinks about growing older. But my journey is very different from hers. I was not a Miss America superstar. I didn't have all that beauty to be in the public eye, and I didn't work hard to be an attorney and all that. So her viewpoint is so interesting. It's not wrong or right. I'm not judging at all. I'm just thinking this is amazing information for us to grow on. So when she says at 30, society has never been kind to those growing older, especially women, who cares? That's the beauty of growing older. You don't give a F. That's what Jane Fonda said in one of her movies or one of her show, or I think her show. Who cares? Who gives a F? When you get to a point when you're old, my age, is you don't give a F about what people think and what society thinks. You become your truth. As I said earlier, when you're in your falsehood, that's what brings death and sadness and depression. When you're in your truth about, I am just a powerful, awesome soul on a journey to complete my assignment. This is a 30-year-old talk. Oh, wait. And she was, okay, so let me continue because I want you to get the full picture of this beautiful soul teaching us now after she's ended her journey on the earth. Her journey has ended on earth, but she has a lot to teach us about depression, how you get there, how you overcome. And so society's never been kind to growing up. That was her attitude last year. Occasional exceptions are made for some of the rich and a few of the famous, she continued. When she was crowned Miss USA at the age of 28, she was the oldest woman in history to win the title. What the F? 28, you're the oldest person to win the title? That's amazing to me that you even won the title. But see, there's what this article brings in a falsehood, the energy of falsehood, saying she was the oldest woman in history. So there her psyche's always saying, oh my gosh, I'm the oldest woman at 28 to win the title. And noted that it was, quote, a designation even the sparkling $200,000 pearl and diamond Mikimoto crown could barely brighten for some diehard pageant fans who immediately began to petition for the age limit to be lowered. Oh, my goodness. So then people are speaking to her about, oh, you're too old, already at 28. So she writes again, her words, a grinning, crinkly-eyed glance at my achievements thus far makes me giddy about laying the groundwork for more, but turning 30 feels like a cold reminder that I'm running out of time to matter in society's eyes, and it's infuriating. Now, this article goes on and on, and I'm not even going to go any further because I think you get the idea, the energy of falsehood that she created or that was created in her life to cause her to end her life. And this article goes on and on and on and on. And it was her mother that said in the last couple of days that she hid her, quote, high-functioning depression from everyone until right before her death, her mother said. People with high-functioning depression may resist acknowledging vulnerability and seeking help. High-functioning depression is not an official medical diagnosis. All right. So I think that is just amazing information and a gift from her soul, for us to know what to look for, how to deal with high-functioning depression, and to understand her journey, that at 28 years old, she was already worrying about getting too old because society put that on her. Now, as we wrap up this section of understanding Chesley Chris's human soul journey and how it ended, I want to give you some information about how to prevent this. And these are six ways to cope with high functioning depression. That's what they label it is, but I want to say it's just training in falsehood. Training in lies, training in deception, brainwashing, that's the word I wanted to use. brainwashing. You prepare to be a beauty queen to probably in your early 20s. You go to all these pageants, and you're thinking, well, I can do this. You're successful. You get the crown, and then you're worried about at 30, you're too old for this field. And with all the success that this woman had, she still had in her mind this disparity about, oh, dear, I'm too old. I'm getting old. And all that success, and I'm going to throw this out there that I thought from the very beginning when I heard about her death, that she was probably on some type of medication, because she mentions in another article how she went for counseling, or she's very aware and mindful to seek counseling. She was even promoting mental health in her journey. And I'm betting she was on some type of drug for antidepression. And the number one side effect on most of those drugs is, guess what? Suicide. So we want to promote healthy mental attitudes, healthy mental balancing, because once you realize you're depressed, one of the best things you need to do is get outside and go for a walk and get in the sunshine, get in the snow, whatever you do. When you hit the outside, if you're in your apartment all day and you're depressed, you're going to get more depressed probably, drinking wine or carrying on. Let me just send a message. Carrying on about things in your mind, the devil comes to you. But anyway, so here are 6 ways to cope with depression that I hope will help any of you who might even be at that place, and then I'm going to add on to it afterwards. Six ways to cope.
Coping with high-functioning depression can be hard, but before going into details on how to deal with it, you might want to watch our video, 7 Signs You May Have High-Functioning Depression. This type of depression is a lot more common than you think. According to Anxiety and Depression Association of America, or ADAA, approximately 3 million people battle with it per year. Many times, this mental disorder goes unnoticed because even though it's a debilitating problem, most people are functional. But don't worry, here are 6 practical tips to deal with high-functioning depression. Number 1. Get organized. For some, high-functioning depression means forgetfulness and disorganization, even though you get things done. You can't remember important dates and don't get to places on time, among other things. Buy an agenda and faithfully write down everything, such as doctor appointments, birthdays, projects, movie release dates, when your car oil change is due, when bills need to be paid, even simple things like anniversaries, or when you start and finish your menstrual cycle. Your agenda will be your best friend. First thing each morning when you wake up, grab it and view what you need to get done during the day and week. This way you won't forget anything. Number 2, home organization. To help yourself out, clean and throw away anything you don't need anymore. If it's in good condition, you can donate it or have a yard sale. Why? Because extra clutter in your home means it will be more difficult for you to stay organized. Go out and buy containers, decorative boxes, and folders. The trick here is to divide things into their correct place. For example, in different folders, place papers by categories, such as car bills in one folder and utility bills in another. In your room, divide your shirts in one drawer and pants in another. The same goes for other materials around the house. The trick here is to put things in places that you will remember to look for it. Number 3, socialization and hobbies. High-functioning depression comes with isolation. To fix this, get involved in your favorite activities or hobbies. For example, if you like to practice martial arts, then take a class. This way, you are blowing stress off by doing things you love, but at the same time, you are socializing with others. Number 4, self-care. The problem with depression is that you have zero energy to take care of yourself. In turn, your self-esteem will be on the floor. No matter how hard it gets, take care of yourself. I know you've heard this all the time, but get enough sleep, drink sufficient amount of water, and eat plenty of healthy meals. Believe it or not, what you eat is how you feel. If you don't get hungry or thirsty, use an alarm clock on your cell phone to remind yourself to eat and drink water. There are even apps you can download that remind you of this, and on the plus side, some of those apps are interactive, making it fun for you. Number 5, distraction. High-functioning depression is complicated in the sense that you are constantly overthinking and criticizing yourself. To counter this, make sure you have healthy pastimes to keep your mind busy. For example, starting a new TV series or reading your favorite book, looking up new artists, coloring, going for a walk, hanging out with friends, going to the bookstore, and etc. The point here is to keep yourself busy and not let your mind wander negatively. Number 6. Exercise and hygiene. Exercising and good hygiene improves your self-esteem and self-worth. Research shows that 30 minutes a day of exercise for at least 4 days a week will boost your mood. And I know when you are depressed, there's no way in hell you want to get up and move. But trust me, it makes a difference. If it's too much at first, start by taking a walk around the block and gradually add cardio to your routine. Look for fun exercises such as riding a bike, dancing, Zumba, running, or sports. Anything that will get you moving, but is entertaining for you. Don't forget to shower and wash your face and mouth twice a day. This will freshen you up and lighten your groggy mood. High-functioning depression is difficult to deal with, but not impossible. If these tips aren't enough to help you, then psychotherapy may be of great use. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Talking to the right people who truly care will help you. Not only that, but if you end up taking medication for this, then remember, there is no shame in that.
All right, so that's a very basic, general 6 coping ways. There's so much available on YouTube, so I strongly advise any of you, if you're feeling the least bit depressed, go to YouTube, put in the search bar, depression, how to overcome depression, natural ways. There's some really good ones about natural ways to overcome depression. They were a little too long to play here today, but just in general, there's a lot of help out there. But Chesley Christ was a very special soul, came here for 30 years to teach us important lessons about listening to those voices outside of your temple of love that are telling you you're too old to be a Miss America, you're too old for this, you're at 30, please. I'm like, okay, that's what's going on out there, though. I mean, I'm not judging her. I think I'm so grateful for her life and that I can tell her story today, that it might help others to overcome depression, especially if you're listening to the voices of the public, of the voices of competitors. She had one of the most successful careers, successful life. But, and another thing, her mother was also a pageant winner. So you can imagine the training that went into creating Chesley Christ, Miss America, from her mother on around. Everybody thought, oh, yeah, she's a beautiful woman. Has this curly locks and just all these things going for her physically. But her inner self was in trouble. Confusion, as it said, organization. If you didn't get anything out of that audio about 6 ways to cope, organization, it has to start within. As someone wrote, organize your spirit and your mind. One of my listeners just texted me. And that's so true, is that if you're feeling depressed in any way, you got to go and organize your thinking. Who am I listening to? Am I listening to the birds and the bees and the astrological readings, the numbers? What are the numbers saying to me? But her assignment was to come here and be Miss America and a lawyer and then to die in the way she died so that we could take it to heart and say thank you, Creator, for Chesley Christ and all the lessons that she brings us. There's more lessons you could learn about her, I'm sure. And we have yet to know if she was on any antidepressant, because to me that was the biggest factor I thought about, is when somebody jumps from a building, that's got to be the worst way to die. You might live down and every bone in your body will be broken. You'll be in pain for the rest of your life. So it's like, okay, I don't want to go that way. If I'm going to die, I'm going to take something to take me out and through my mouth, and so I can have a quick flow, a quick death, and no chances of me waking up on the concrete with broken bones. But that's her assignment. That was her assignment for us to learn about how deep the depression was. But that's what drugs will do for you. I've seen it so many times. People take antidepressants from big pharma mafia and they commit suicide. So many times. PTSD, all those disease or imbalances cause people to take drugs from big pharma and then you're out of here because you say, I can't. There's something about those drugs that make people want to take their life and go and leave the earth. I'm just saying. We don't have proof yet, but I'm betting she saw a counselor, and that counselor brought out the prescription pad and said, here, take these, you'll feel better. And she said, no, I'm going to jump off the building and kill myself. So lessons galore. Let us learn the lessons from Chesley Crisp and think more about who are you listening to, especially as you get older. It's fun getting older. You have to let go of a lot of things as you get older, and then you love yourself more because of all the wisdom. I was stupid back then when I was 20s, 15s, 20s. I had so much ignorance and so no wisdom at all back then. Now I'm full of wisdom, happy, joyful, taking and flying. I'm a fly in, agent. First, love yourself. So thank you for being here with me so we can all fly together. And in the next hour and a half, we're going to learn about health equity and minority disparities, celebrating the history of melanin people and their brothers and sisters who are not so melanin. So tune in. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
And we're back. Thank you for joining me this morning. We're talking about health equity and minority disparities because it's Black History Month. And I don't think we should just have Black History Month. It should be Black History, period, all year. And that's what I promote anyway. I'm not going to stop in at the end of February promoting Black History Month because it's part of American history. American history is Black History Month. So we should really stop calling this Black History Month and just every day let's promote truth and not falsity because, as I said with Chesley Crisp, who committed suicide, a Black woman, so-called Black woman, got caught up in the success and the public eye and the falsehood of thinking that because you're 30 years old, you're getting older and that could be a problem in your life. Whatever. That's the lesson for us to think about. Really, how do you feel? How much do you hate yourself? You got to hate yourself to commit suicide, and drugs will help you do that for sure. Pharmaceutical, because they bring you into an imbalance. Pharmaceutical drugs can bring you into a lack of homeostasis, for one, where there's balance, everything functioning as the creator intended. And then you got this pharmaceutical created drug that's supposed to help you reduce your symptoms. But symptoms are designed to tell us what's going on in our body. Symptoms are a way of this advanced communication system telling us what's going on inside. You get pain in your shoulder, pain in your breast, pain in your stomach. That is a message, a hormonal message. That is a language that the body uses to communicate to us that we're out of balance. So what do we do when we're out of balance? Yeah, we don't want to kill ourselves, but we do want to make some changes, which is hard for many people to make. That's why we're talking about health equity. What does that mean, health equity? I'm curious myself. I saw that title, and I thought, okay, what's that mean? So I looked into it, found some really good videos. Let's talk about health equity today and how all of us, minorities especially, oh, hello, wind's blowing my sign down. health equity, minorities especially, because I see a lot of ignorance in the minority community about what true health is. And when I say meditation to some people in the health and the minority, they mean, you mean Jesus? You mean going to church? No, I mean out in nature, breathing, closing your eyes, that type of meditation, going inside yourself. So we've been taught over the years from the plantation how to eat, in the minority community, and you'll see from these audios, these testimonies that you're going to hear, how we've been brainwashed, like Chesley Chris, brainwashed into falsehoods that don't line up with this amazing vessel of love that the Creator gave us. So let's first of all define health equity. And then please call in 515-605-9325. Press 1 if you want to have a comment, or if you have any comments on Facebook, please post them. I try and pay attention to that. And let's grow together in wisdom and come out of the falsehoods that man has created for us to die from. Let's listen.
Public health has two main goals. The first goal is to promote the health of the population, and the second goal is to reduce health inequities. And those are really moral aims or ethical endeavors that public health is concerned with. And I'm just going to focus for a minute on the second one, which is around health equity and promoting health equity as a primary public health goal. Health equity is really about ensuring that everyone in the population has the resources for health. And so when we're addressing health equity, we need to be concerned about unfair or unjust conditions that create a situation in which some members of the population are disadvantaged in terms of gaining access to their full optimal level of health. So when we think about health equity as a moral endeavor, that means that there's a set of ethical issues that we have to be concerned about. And it's not kind of your usual set of ethical issues that we might think about, such as in public health ethics, we do think about things like emergency preparedness, we think about dealing with health communications and when we should communicate to the public, what's the right information at the right time. When we're talking about health equity issues, we're actually concerned with issues that are very much of concern across society because they disadvantage individuals from gaining access to resources to help. So as examples, we can think about the fact that sometimes people are not able to achieve health because of issues related to stigma, to racism, to gender bias, to sexual discrimination. Those are examples of equity issues because not everyone has the same opportunity for health because those kinds of social conditions create disadvantage and people can't always access the same kind of resources. Another example would be if you think of living in a poor neighborhood, you don't have the same access to nutritional food, to safe and adequate housing. Those are other, we often call those the determinants of health. And those determinants really influence whether people are able to be healthy or not. So we kind of have a whole additional set of ethical issues that arise when we take very seriously this aim to promote health and to reduce health inequities.
A definition of health equity that is all over YouTube and the internet, this health equity. And as I'm gonna, just as a review, it's the concern that people have access to doctors, hospitals, that's what they need, access to the sick care system. I'm going to give you my interpretation of health equity, is that especially minorities they're talking about, because they're not able to receive health because of racism. That's what she was saying. There are a lot of people who can't, they live in neighborhoods where there's no nutritional food. What do you mean? There's no apples and oranges and they have all these chips and junk food, right? I lived in that neighborhood. We still had oranges and apples at the grocery store, but we chose to eat junk food because it was more comforting. So when I hear that someone talking about the thing about health equity, and please let me know if you disagree or agree with this, but the issue about health equity, it revolves around everybody should have the resources for, quote, health, to promote health. And some members of society don't have access to things that promote health. And it becomes a moral issue. And there's disadvantages that people who are disadvantaged can't gain access to health and not able to receive health because of racism and other things. Ooh, this speaks to me loudly of victim-mindedness. We are victims and we can't get health because of who we are, because of the color of our skin. Now, this is a black history problem. Because we've been in this victim mind for too long, in my opinion. Health is about going outside, hugging a tree, looking at the sun, staying in the sun, playing, and eating less, actually. We don't need 3 meals a day. We don't need to have all the food in the grocery store on in our cupboard. That's the problem with health issues today. I heard this morning, I woke up and people were up at 2 o'clock in the morning sending me things, and I opened up my phone and there's a video about a nurse testifying before Senator Johnson about what was going on in the hospitals in New York when she went to work in New York hospitals during the early pandemic stages. And what she was seeing is that they were targeting minorities. They were targeting color people to give them things like remdesivir that killed them, the kidneys shut down, to give them no treatment at all in the hospital. And all the horrors that were going on, she actually did a video last year that I remember seeing, the same nurse who was testifying about, she was crying because her patients who were black were being mistreated in the hospital. Okay, we get that? So when we talk about health equity, I need to find Sadhguru, what is health? Because that's where the black community is confused about what is health. We have been so programmed to believe that we have to have access to everything the society has access to the elite have access to, the rich have access to. These days, you go in a hospital, you're probably not going to come out. I mean, you're blessed if you come out of a hospital because you got to get in there and come out fast because remdesivir, for one, is a drug that's killing people, as this nurse testified. A nurse testified this morning on about how many people were given remdesivir that shut down the kidneys after a few days and that they were targeting black people, minorities in the hospital. And you know why? That's part of the show today, is that you know why they were targeting minorities? Because there's a level of ignorance about health. So let me bring in Sadhguru. What is health? Because that last audio I played about what health equity is kind of confusing in my mind. And it causes people like the person Chesley, it causes people like Chesley to be all Chesley Chris to be confused about being Miss America, that I'm getting too old. Who told you that? The falsehood that we listen to. I can't be healthy because I don't have access to all the nutritional food. Really? Go outside and breathe fresh air and be in the sun and walk and don't eat so much. Fast. Fasting is really key to being healthy. Not eating all the crap that's out there. Not eating all the food that they call food, but to being fasting, have a mind of fasting and getting nourishment from the Creator. So let me just remind everybody what health is from the perspective of Sadhguru, not from this moral idea that we are somehow victims and we don't have access. You don't have access to the sun and the sky. That's the renewing of the mind I think we need these days, renewing our mind about what we have access to for our health. So Sadhguru is going to give us some reminders.
Health is not just an absence of disease. Health means, the word health comes from the word whole.
Whole.
An individual human being feels complete physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. That's when health is. When the life within you is bouncing with vibrance, when the life within you is effervescent, that's when health happens. If we have to build this into a human being, this has to happen at the earliest time in his life. If healthful living, how a human being can live healthy, what he should consume, what should be the nature of his practice, and different aspects of how he should sleep, how he should wake up. All these things were built into our culture in the past, but in the last generation we have distorted this heavily because of certain Western influences which are only about treating the disease, not about creating health from within. Nobody can give us health. Health is our responsibility. This has to be brought into our curriculum, that every child in this country should learn how to generate health for himself, not wait for a healthcare system to help him later in his life, but he must become the main healthcare provider for himself, because health can only be organized from within. The earlier it is introduced, the better it is. It is important that we as a nation, all that we have is a large mass of people, these 1.25 billion people. If we have a healthful, focused, and inspired population, we as a nation can become a miracle. If we have an unhealthy population, which will naturally be uninspired and not ready for action kind of population, we can become the greatest disaster. Right now, India is moving towards this disaster rapidly. It is time to turn it around by bringing healthful ways of living at the earliest point in one's life, so the school systems, the education system has to introduce as to how a human being can live healthy. This has to happen to this country because large-scale movement towards ill health is happening, and it is something that we can ill afford. It is not something that this nation can handle. The richest nations in the world, like United States of America, their health bills are sinking their economy. We need not move in that way. Right now, we have a youthful population, but not very healthy. It's time we bring health and manifestation of health into our school systems and make it work for us as a nation.
So, according to Sadhguru,
the world has...
According to Sadhguru, an Indian teacher from India who practices yoga and fasting and teaches many people all over the world how to be healthy, mind, body, spirit balancing. Now, his focus is, it's our responsibility to develop health in this body. The audio I played you about health equity promotes the idea that everyone should have access to a resource for your health. Not this, but health equity preaches that we need access to something to have health, and that the disadvantaged are the main victims who don't gain access to doctors, and they're in the poor communities where there's no nutritional food in the community. And the problem with the inequity is that we're not able, in the Black community, we're not able to receive health because of racism, a racist system that creates neighborhoods with no good food in them. And then people don't have money to ride a bus to go get good food. And so all these stories that we've been hearing most of our life, are about victim. You're a victim because of the racist, the white supremacist system. And then so in the last year, we've had many, many people take end their life because of comorbidities. What are comorbidities? When you have diabetes, heart disease, kidney failure, when you have a comorbidities means you have a number of health imbalances. And that's what the Black community has been suffering with for the last 2 years, realizing when the media and the government put enough fear in us that the stress in your body and the comorbidities will not survive. That's what we've been seeing in the last 2 years in the minority communities especially, but in all communities. So we're now seeing that what they call minority disparities are really a lot of ignorance and not knowing the Sadhguru wisdom of you're responsible for your health, not some damn doctor in a white coat with a stethoscope around. No, he's not responsible. He's working for Big Pharma. Most of doctors with a stethoscope and a coat are working for Big Pharma. They want to give you as many drugs as they've been handed for samples, and they want to keep you on the drug machine that keeps you coming back. And then we have someone like Chris Chesley, 30-year-old, beautiful Black Miss America queen, who's so unorganized in her brain and, oh, so unhealthy mentally because she's been listening to people telling her at 30 years old, you're a little old to be Miss America. That was her own writing now. I'm not making this up. I just read you part of her essay. She writes, I'm really concerned at 30. I'm getting a little old to be Miss America or to be in this position that I'm in as a lawyer, as a successful journalist, correspondent. We're listening to the wrong voices, people. And that's the history of many, too many Black Americans. You've been sitting in front of CNN TV listening to Don Lemon tell you who you are, what you should think, how you should think, and that you need an injection to be healthy. All right, enough of my ranting. I know some of you out there, oh, she's ranting too much. Let me go to the phones. I want to hear from you. You know what I think. I want to know what you think. So press one in there, out there, and tell me what you think. So I'm going to open the mic. 773-487, your mic is open. Welcome.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Greetings. Is this Kufi? Kufi James?
Yes, it is.
Welcome, Kufi. How are you this morning in cold Chicago? I know it's chilly there.
That's okay. The weather's great. The air is fresh.
Yes, yes.
And I love this time of year.
All right. Getting ready for
the spring.
Yeah.
I've disconnected from this vicious web, the system that's constantly seducing us to kind of mislead us. You know, if you look at the internet now, everybody's telling you what to do. Everybody's telling you what God is telling you. Everybody's telling you, well, this is how you need to eat. This is how you need to live. This is how you need to sleep. This is how you need to pray. This is how you need to walk. This is how you need to talk. This is how you need everybody, you know, just telling you. And this is what the World Wide Web has accomplished, you know, because we, you know, I use it as an information seeker. And I'm a part of the comedic society. See, we all have been kind of round up. I feel like everybody's been round up and become chattel property again. Real slick like. We become chattel property. You know what that means?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Slave minds. We have slave minds. Many people have slave minds like a slave.
Yeah.
Do what your master tells you to do. In this case, the government. Do what you're for the last 2 years, many people have developed that chattel mind slavery. And do what your government tells you, even though their record is horrendous. Horrendous record of health and nutrition. They don't even have a record, but they're going to do what their government tells them to do. Yeah, I know what chattel means.
In the comedic kingdom of God, this is a total separate government that has been here since ancient times. And when you tap into it, you don't look at the government you don't look at other governments as governments. You look at individuals who's running the government and say,
yeah,
these are the people who are running the government. Don't listen to them. Well, it's the government. No. It's not. You know, at the end of the day, the government is the people that you put in. Why are you listening to these people? Why are you not dictating and telling them this is what you want to do? These people are doing everything I say. If I type up something and do it, next thing you know, they're doing it. I go, wait a minute. They are really listening to me. I feel like I'm the one of the most the number one guy that the whole world is listening to, because it's like, the information I put out, they end up duplicating it. So what I'm trying to get at is, it's time for a mind detox.
Oh, absolutely.
We've been overloaded, and we become chattel property. And people are like, well, what do you mean chattel property? I say, well, ask a girl out for a date. And then ask her to sleep with you. She's going to ask you for some money. What can you do for her? Everybody's looking at it. Everybody has a tag on them, you know. But we in the comedic kingdom, we've gotten out and got back connected to nature, because nature is where there is resolve. Nature is where, because everybody has like a, they're like, you know, when you opened the segment and brought me in, you're like, oh no, it's cold up there in Chicago, you see? And I'm like, no, this is the best time to breathe. This is the best time to get some air. I'm getting healing. My oxygen, my kidneys is getting renewed. You see how
okay.
I looked at that? You see how I looked
so,
at the situation?
See, I got to go through a break. Let me come back to you after the break. And we're talking about health equity and minority disparities. Why do we have minority disparities where we want to go? Because as Kufi just pointed out, people are listening to the government, and it's the people who are listening to the lobbyists like Big Pharma. Big Pharma is the biggest voice in our country. And guess who's getting paid? The people we elected to serve us in the government. Nancy Pelosi's rerunning for something, and we got to kick her out because she's a millionaire now because she stayed in there too long. Now, we'll be right back after these messages, but we're going to give you some truth today about, especially for minority disparities to come out of that. The health equity issue about racism is why you're unhealthy.
I'll address that.
Come on.
I'll address
on.
That.
Okay, we'll be right back after
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve a peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
About that last commercial. Do you want to live in a world without war? Well, some of the things we need to do is get rid of this government that we have, because yesterday I watched a video of President Brandon, we like to call him jokingly, he says he's proud. He comes on to say he's proud that on his order, they successfully removed a global leader of ISIS in Syria. And they show all these videos of blood on the ground, on the wall, on the floor, and how successful they were of taking a life of someone who was supposedly the leader of ISIS. And Biden is so proud of this. That's how out of touch he is. Many of us are not impressed with your order to kill another human being. This is why we have warmongers in Washington, D.C., because they all support people like President Brandon, who thinks he should be proud that he's killed another human being. Yeah, war is something that we're going to have to get over slowly, surely. But when you come on the D.C., with all this going on in Canada, men and women are sacrificing their time in the cold below zero, in trucks and protesting in Canada. President Biden, I'm proud. I just killed another person on planet Earth. I'm like, oh, my goodness. This is why we got to keep working diligently. Number one, take responsibility for our own health. And number two, get rid of the government that is being led by warmongers like Biden, who want to kill more people on planet Earth. When we're talking about, no, we want peace on Earth. So anyway, that's my rant about the president and war. Kufi, you want to finish up on health equity and minority disparities in you and your community?
Yeah. First thing, my mind is not a war mind. My mind is a peace mind.
Thank you. We need more of that.
And we let these people know that, you know, look, you're on the side of the war mind just because you brought the ball to the basketball court. And, you know, that don't mean we got to play with you. But
okay.
All of this
basketball
equity,
is good exercise, though. Basketball is good exercise.
What I meant is, you know, when you grow up and you don't even want to have the ball and you bring it to the court, you got to play. And you're not selected. You take your ball home. Well, I just think, that's what happens. Now you can't play.
Who
else got a ball? Now I ain't got a ball. He got the only ball. Well, let him play. So we're playing with the devil. You know what I'm saying? Because he brought the ball to the court. But all of this inequity, all of this health. See, black people, if you leave us alone for 30 days, we're going to heal ourselves. All of this racial stuff, it's not race. To me, as an older guy, it's not racism. It's land occupy-ism. I took your land, and I'm going to treat you a certain way and keep you into a certain sphere of you not asking for my land back, for your land back. And that's what we're beginning to do the last 2 years. We're asking for our land back. And that's how racism will kind of disappear. It's not racism. I came over here to this country. I took your land. I made you laborers. And then I created a story that I brought you from Africa to pick a cotton ball and breastfeed my babies. No, it was us from here. And see, we start to understand that because people are really starting to listen to the truth. So all this health, you know, when it comes to black people, there's inequity. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to lure you into something else, lure you into taking something else. Oh, we know we have forgot about you. No. We want you to forget about us forever. Don't include us in none of what you're doing. We can live on our own. And if we need you, we'll knock on our door. I'm telling you, you have to take that stand because they're going to keep seducing us into this equity and all this feeling like we're less of a people when they're living off our culture, when they're living off everything that we've done. You know what I'm saying? So I know you want to address it, but I don't want to address it. I don't want to open up the letter that you send me. I don't need it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Brother Kufi. Kufi is in Chicago enjoying the cold weather, drinking lots of green juices, smoothies, and really renewing his thinking. So thank you, Kufi, for sharing that with us. Because this week we were thinking about Chesley Christ, a 30-year-old beautiful black woman who took her life because she was worried about getting old at 28 and 30 years old. So these are choices that we're looking at. So I want to play another testimony about Michelle and her journey with understanding disparities and equity today in especially minority communities. It is a choice, people. When Kufi brings out the idea, leave us alone and we'll be okay. But it's a choice. Yes, the other day, yesterday, I was going in the Publix grocery store. And there was a black woman at the machine with a mask on outside all by herself. That just irritates me every time I see that. But then I just take a deep breath and say, okay, it's her choice. So I said, I was just motivated to say to her, you know, you really don't have to wear your mask outside. And she actually wanted to start arguing with me about that. And I thought, oh, why did I do that? She said, oh, what are you talking about? We need to do this. We need to. I said, you know, the Creator, I just had a brief conversation. The Creator has given us fresh air. You can be outside without your mask. You don't have to wear your mask. So it's a choice. It's a choice. And then she walked away like she was angry that I even brought up the idea that the Creator gave us fresh air. And I thought, you shouldn't have done that. And now you should have done that. Because maybe the seed was planted that you come out of your programmed mind that you need to wear a mask while you're at the ATM machine all by yourself, nobody around, and you've been programmed to wear a damn mask forever. That's what people are thinking. I'm starting to wonder, when are people going to make the choice to be healthy and stop being a victim and following the direction of a government that is warmongering, wanting to kill people, and you're the target? So here's a story about Michelle that I want to share with you.
The world has got to change. I lived in a community that was so prosperous with doctors and lawyers and politicians. Now we have drug dealers and corner stores that they don't sell anything but the wrong things. You cannot deny the impact that it has on people's health. I have been in West Baltimore my entire life. As far as money, my mother didn't have any money. I don't want to say she was poor. I'll say low income. Poor we were, though. In the 50s, we didn't have many choices as far as health care. The health care system then was limited. It was not good for us. And medicine costing so much that my family says sometimes, will I eat or will I pay for my medicine? Oh, I just love my daughters when they come over and we get together and we cook and prepare meals together. It's healthy meals. When my oldest went to college, she came back with a different diet.
Now what happens is if I do a meatloaf, it's turkey instead of ground beef. You know, I make spaghetti, I make chili, stuff like that. It's with turkey and chicken. We grew up, we ate pork. We ate bacon. We ate a fresh shoulder. We ate pork chops. I did not think it was not healthy eating.
Right.
Because this is what we were accustomed to. I was in denial. I didn't want to face the fact that I was becoming a diabetic.
The impact is the fact that my family ended up with heart disease, emphysema, diabetes, cancer. My mother's sister, her daughter, died of diabetes. She was an amputee. My mother died of a massive heart attack. And
to address health disparities, we need to understand why they exist, that they're not due to one single factor. They're the result of policy decisions we make as a society. They're due to the environment, health education, insurance and access to care, access to healthy food, and stress. Those stresses are actually experienced disproportionately by people who are poor and people who have been historically disadvantaged in this society.
Solutions to these problems cannot just be medical. It's systemic, and that means everybody has to get involved.
If we want a nation to be strong, the people in that nation have to be healthy. They have to be well. If there's anything that we can do to stamp out disparities, we need to do it by any means necessary.
Hi, Ms. Simmons.
Hi, Dr.
Here at East Baltimore Medical Center, most of the patients are underserved.
We need nice deep breaths in and out through your mouth.
Michelle is a terrific success story. There was actually a year where she had lost her job, and before she found a new one, she had no health insurance. And she still managed to buy her medicines out of pocket, paid out of pocket to come and have doctor visits. She was really invested in her own health. That's something that Dr. Cooper's research is looking at, why patients don't invest in their health like we wish they would.
Next thing on the agenda is the community update, so I'm going to turn
Michelle joined our community advisory board in 2011. We provide education to the community about health and about research. We offer training programs for community health workers. We can be sure that we are meeting the needs of people appropriately and that we're not leaving out certain groups of people that have traditionally not been included in conversations related to health and health care. Our strong relationship with the community is just essential. There's no way that we could do what we're doing without their input. And my work is just one of many initiatives here at Hopkins.
Good to see you. Ms. Simmons is a great example of what happens when we get it right as clinicians and as an institution.
I am a fighter. I am a believer. I stand for what's right. And what's right is people's health. And I will never give up as long as I have breath in my body.
One of the things that is so important is that people have what I call a liberated future. And it's hard to be liberated when you're not healthy. And when I say liberated, I mean freedom to be all that God meant for you to be. When we don't deal with disparities, then what we're doing is denying people an opportunity to give back to the world. And so we've got to fight it. We've got to fight it with everything we've got.
So Michelle's story is typical of your average urban minority experience, where you think about the pork that you ate and all the good food at Thanksgiving and Christmas and all those big meals that Mama served and all the pork. And then you go to spaghetti with turkey and chicken instead of pork. And so you're trying to do better with your diet, but at the same time, we have all these comorbidities, diabetes, heart disease, kidney failure, that were the main cause of death in the last 2 years. It wasn't that people were dying of COVID. They were dying with a virus in their body, and the establishment was calling it COVID so they could scare people into doing what the medical sick care system loves to do, promote their drugs. So let's be honest, people. And by the way, if you're in the studio, if you have a comment or you want to have a question, please press 1 and call in 515-605-9325. My comments aren't showing up on Facebook right now, but Zelda has commented, love being a senior citizen. Hey. Jody Susan, Grand Rising, Queen Sister, and Dulcie Uz Perez, Shalom, my sister. Thank you for tuning in so that we together can promote the real healthcare system. Because what we just heard from Michelle's story was about the sick care system. A sick care system that John Hopkins Medical Center has been promoting for the last 2 years. Everywhere I looked on my phone, John Hopkins was promoting, guess what? The jab. You got to get the jab. John Hopkins is all about promoting the sick care system, which says don't take responsibility for your health. Don't go out there and breathe more fresh air. No, we're not going to promote that. We're going to promote big pharma. That's what the sick care system is all about. And that's what we've all been enveloped in, dominated within the news and the media. So the history of minorities is about ignorance, unfortunately, not taking advantage of new information and consciousness that says you don't need to eat a lot. As she said, sometimes it was a matter of when you're in a poorer community, it's a matter of whether you're going to use your money for food or insurance. Okay, insurance, you got to have insurance so you can go get your prescription filled, right? This is the history that we've been in that we have to renew this year and come into empowerment, sovereignty, self-responsibility. This whole idea of health equity and minority disparities is about people thinking that we're in a racist society and it's racism that's driving sickness. And we're not healthy because it's a racist society. Well, what is your thought on that? Those of you in the studio, you think you're not healthy because it's a racist society? Or is it that you haven't learned to choose, empower this amazing biological computer? The most advanced communication system is right here from your head to your toes. And we have not been educated on that, nor has our government promoted it in any way, shape, or form. So we are in a very a crucial place this year. 2022 can be the awakening place. All that's happened in the last 2 years has been about waking up waking up to this sick care system is promotion of more drugs, injection. And we get President Biden promoting war on other people in Syria, of all places. We're still trying to kill people over in Syria. And we're in Yemen. There's a genocide going on in Yemen. All this warmongering. And then it came to a point of war on this human body. The last 2 years has been a war on the human vessel. First the mind, fear. You got to be in fear because there's a little virus that's going to kill you. You got to kill. We got to kill the virus. And how do we kill? We got to get vaccines in our body. That's how we kill the virus. Lies, and more falsehood. And that's why people like Chesley Chris, this beautiful former Miss America, took her life, because the falsehood took over her mind. She was probably on some antidepressant. And here we are to learn about it and grow from it. We're here to grow from all the errors of the past 50, 100 years, the last 2 years especially, because it's all the Creator's doing. The last 2 years has all been in divine order, I realize. The conspiracy theories, whatever you want to say, it's all divine order to wake us the F up, to get out of a sick care system that has been killing us, because we didn't choose to take self-responsibility for this amazing vessel of love, vessel of honor, this amazing communication system that the brain can master any symptoms in our body. Let me go to the phones because someone has pressed 1, and I'm going to open up the mic. 773-366. Your mic's open.
Grand Rising.
Good morning. Naima Latif.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead. Yes. Welcome.
Yeah. You know, I'm sitting here eating a nice, healthy breakfast of you know, avocados and tofu and wheat toast and everything. And I had a mouthful of food when you decided to open my mic, so now I got to finish chewing so I don't sound all rude and everything. But I did want to say, of course, you have hit the nail on the head. What has happened over these last couple of years, this is our learning experience, and we're going through this so that people can discover that they have been misled and misused and manipulated, and they can get angry enough to stop giving their power over to corporations that are just using their bodies to make money. They're going to get angry enough when it just depends on how long it takes for us to learn this lesson. But when they see it over and over again, oh, okay, you got to get more shots, you got to get more of this, more of that, more drugs that depress you. And so people have to see enough situations where what they're being told is for their good is actually killing them before they finally realize that the people who are advocating this don't have their best interest at heart. You know, and it's hard for people to acknowledge that those they've entrusted their lives to don't care about them. It's a very hurtful thing to discover that, but that's what we need to discover, that the incentive for those that are pushing these pharmaceutical products is not because they love us and want us healthy. It's so they can make money off of our sickness. When we finally get it, when enough people, and people are getting it, there are those who already got it, and that's why they're not doing these things. But those who have been conditioned for years and years and years to think that your body's supposed to just fall apart and at a certain age you're going to have a medicine cabinet full of pills and bottles and drugs, you know, those who have been conditioned for that, it's going to be hard for them to come out of that conditioning and realizing that your body is not meant to age. It's not meant to deteriorate. It's self-regenerating if you put the right things in it.
Right,
so those
right.
of us who've been pushing health all these years and been falling on the deaf ears of our loved ones, and they're, you know, doing things, eating wrong, getting limbs cut off, you know, going to dialysis and all of that because they messed up their kidneys with all of these pharmaceutical products. However long it takes people to figure it out that they've been duped, once they figure it out, they'll be very angry, and they'll be angry enough to take responsibility for their health like you've been advocating and go ahead and do the right things that are right here natural for them and have been here all the time. It's just a matter of how long is it going to take them to figure it out.
And I know you and Zelda did a show on Monday about suicide, but when I read her essay, that just opened up all the answers to why she did what she did for me, because her mind to me was thinking about, I'm too old at 30. She was taking in all this false information about who she really was in the true sense of her soul being. And she was listening to all these voices about what you're supposed to be when you're a Miss, former Miss America, when you're a correspondent. So I realized that, thank you for doing that show, but I was just so curious about what it was really going on with Chesley that she would jump from a building. And now that I read her essay a year ago that she wrote, it just reminded me how programmed she was to not get into true health, true mental health, soul health. Instead, she was listening to all the other voices out there telling her who she should be and not listening to her intuition and her inner voice. So, yeah, we have work to do just to be ourselves, our healthy selves, and promote our own health first and foremost. And I have a job with my, even with my grandchildren, they call me nature of the future. So I realize they're listening to me, though. That tells me they're listening to me. Even though they love their sweets and their junk food and all that, they're listening to me. And at one time, my grandson wanted to be a vegetarian. That lasted for 2 days, and then he was back to his meeting. But they're listening to us. So thank you, Naima, for all that you do, and for all the women on the Female Solution. People are definitely listening. As you said, it may be hard to make those changes. But this last 2 years, if you don't make the change after what's going on in the whole planet, especially with the truckers and all that information coming out, then we're going to wait for you, and you might end up like Chesley. We don't know, but your assignment is unique. All of us have a unique assignment, and I'm just learning the lesson. So we got to go to a break. I didn't realize it's over time. Thank you, Naima, for chiming in. Enjoy your meal, your beautiful breakfast, and thank you for sharing that with us. We'll be right back after this.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
You are tuned in to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair 2020 Vision Fundraising Campaign. That's right. You can support the vision of reviving Black literary excellence in this city by simply taking your $20 or more and donating it on our website. Visit www.soulfulchicagobookfair.com and click the Donate tab on our homepage, or give us a call at 646-359-6605, and we welcome you, helping us breathe literary life into the South Side of Chicago.
Do you or your organization need space for an event? Call the Quarry Event Center at 2423 East 75th Street in Chicago for your parties, banquets, award ceremonies, repasses, concerts, and business seminars, available 7 days a week, now under new management. Call us at the Quarry at 773-663-2557. That's 773-663-2557.
Share this with those who are in this victim mind that you can't have health unless you have access to a system that is promoting drugs and more sickness. And I'm going to go to the phone, 312-671. But I thought I should bring in, remind us about Louise Hay's Heal Your Body philosophy, about the metaphysical cause of diseases and comorbidities especially. For instance, diabetes. I always promote and share on here the spiritual invisible causes, which many health equity teachings, minority disparity teachings don't get into. I have a brother, Health by Any Means Necessary, I shared with you last week his knowledge and wisdom, but he rarely goes into the emotional aspect. So diabetes, for instance, is longing for what might have been, a great need to control, deep sorrow, no sweetness left. So if a person has been diagnosed with diabetes, they're suffering with diabetes, that's usually some of the invisible energy going on in their mind and their heart. And the way to come out of that is to start affirming things like, this moment is filled with joy. I now choose to experience the sweetness of today. It's no more looking at the past. Please, can we come out of the past? We're all in we've all been in chattel slavery. I don't care if you were never on a plantation. The beginning of most of our journey in the United States of America was chattel slavery, going to junk food and listening to the master at church or in the government. Now we need freedom. That's what the truckers are talking about, is freedom. And I'm going to play a little clip before we go about what's going on in below zero weather in Canada with people who want their freedom, like all of us, but they're leading the charge. So let me go to the phones. 312-671, your mic is open. Thank you for joining us.
We're on Yah Shalom, Grand Rising, and Assalamu Alaikum. Good morning, Dr. B. How you doing?
Shalom, shalom. I'm doing great out here in Florida sunshine. It's going to be like 70 or 80 degrees today, so I cannot complain.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you are fantastic in terms of continuing to educate us. And I love to say we and us is being educated by the Female Solution, and especially you on Fridays, is because it's true. Our health is our wealth. We have to learn better, know better, and do better. This is your brother, Minister Robert Floyd Plump from Chicago, Illinois. And I just like to commend you for your consistency on educating us about ourselves. And that is really just intelligent enough to discover ourselves. To discover ourselves means you must learn to be your best doctor, your best lawyer, your best teacher, and your best consumer about what goes into your body, because we are products of what we eat as well as the mind we keep. And I have been, I would say, learning and educating myself in that way, because all gets back to and begins and ends with thank God for the Female Solution. Willingly or unwillingly, as Brother Kareem has said this past Wednesday on the program for the men, which is number one, is that we, the Harold Washington Foundation, is really hiring 100% of our people. And I know that I am a miracle. And being a miracle is, I could be, or if it was not the will of God, I would be either in a mental institution, I would be either dead and in my grave, or I'd be doing something wrong because I'm a Vietnam veteran and tried to do something wrong, you know, like people that are out here doing. And they were crazy about robbing, stealing, and killing, and excuse me, and misuse of themselves and others, and losing and there's none of that. And we want the world to know that, that we have a campaign, that we have lunch, and we in inviting the Female Solution as of officially January the 31st, 2022, because this is the year for you. And that's what you have, concluded, that this is our year, and it's our time now as a people, and especially the black woman. And it was also mentioned, if you educate a woman, you educate your nation. And the nation is the father. You educate the father, and the woman is educating the children. And when you educate someone, that means it's a better way of life that we can begin. The greatest thing that you have, I've learned from you, Dr. B, is healing. And I told Sister Naima here, I did some research on that word, and it adds out to be 23. And so if we all are 23, there's no big eyes and little you. And, even though our children, is doing the wild thing or the other thing, and that's because they don't have the solution. And the solution is really love. We have to learn to love ourselves and to love our children, love our people, and then teach one another through some type of educational reform. And that's what you have been doing and demonstrating, and I appreciate you to the highest. And what you have said and done is to be the truth. And I remember Mayor Harold Washington said, we must pump the whole community. So we're pumping up Chicago, America, and the world by promoting peace, love, unity, marketing people. And you are the best of the best for our health, which is our higher self. And we have to leave our lower self alone and learn to love our higher self, which consumes our mind. Our mind is also should be God's mind. And when we obtain God's mind, it becomes God's will only. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister Plum. A beautiful, beautiful man living in Chicago and sharing his journey. He's been with the Female Solution for many years, sharing his journey with prostate cancer, overcoming. And I know Minister Plum is overcoming his past, especially because any disease usually is rooted in past memories and past traumas and all that. So thank you, Minister Plum. The reason I do what I do, and there goes my sign again. It's so windy. The reason I do what I do, I was going to point to my dad's picture because I had a father, a biological father, who was an athlete. And he raised his three girls to be very active at the YMCA. And in diet, we always have red delicious apples in the house. And even when my parents divorced, my dad would drop off oranges and apples and all kinds of fruit. And so I love my dad so much. And he was with me, even though they divorced, he was in my life till the end when he died at 95 a couple of years ago. So that was one of my biggest influences. So all those compliments from Minister Plump, I really appreciate. But I realize what has shaped me is, number one, I'm an old soul, stuff going on. I'm like, I've been there, done that. But number two is I had a father in my life who promoted, and I had a mother who, on the other hand, showed me what addiction was like and how suffering in addiction can destroy the body. But right now, as Minister Plump mentioned, there's a global movement going on. And I want to share with you what's going on in Canada before we go, because it's below zero, but people are outside. I watched one video where people had flown in from New Delhi, India, to be a part of that movement. And New Delhi, they're there with their big turbans on. They're obviously religious people, but they were on the camera. Someone filmed them saying, where are you from? We're from New Delhi. We came over here to help them and support them. So all over the planet, and I understand, I'm hearing rumors that American truck drivers are going to do the same thing, hopefully head to President Brandon Biden's place and say, stop the war. If I were to go, I'd have a sign, stop the bombing, stop the war, stop it. But anyway, here's what's going on. We need to know what's going on there because it's a global movement now. When somebody flies all the way from New Delhi, India, to Canada to be a part of below zero weather, I'm certainly not going up there in that weather. Now, if they have something in Florida, I might participate. But let's listen to the global energy that's being created to freedom, for freedom, health freedom. It's not about really health equity, minority disparities. It's about self-responsibility. And this government has been promoting the reverse. Control, we're going to control you. We're going to tell you what you need to put in your body in terms of drugs. But they won't promote healthy ideas. So what's going on?
No country is here until the country is opened up. I'm a Canadian citizen here as a patriot fighting for the truckers. My name is Jim. This government is a criminal. You guys are harming the children. This is decades of harm that's going to be happening to children because of all of you.
We are here out of love for our families, our communities, and our nation. These past 2 years, the COVID mandates have divided us. This protest began because of the federal government's restrictions on trucker freedoms. Our movement has grown in Canada and across the world because common people are tired of the mandates and restrictions in their own lives. Our movement has grown in Canada and across the world because common people are tired of the mandates and restrictions in their lives that now seem to be doing more harm than good. As of today, Sweden, Denmark, UK, Norway, Finland, Ireland, and Switzerland have removed all COVID mandates and restrictions. We are therefore calling on all levels of government in Canada to end all COVID mandates and restrictions. We will continue our protest until we see a clear plan for their elimination. Premier Scott Moe of Saskatchewan has taken leadership in Canada in ending restrictions and mandates in that province. Hopefully, these words will turn into long-lasting action. So far, no one from the federal, provincial, or municipal government has spoken directly with us. Instead, they are using you, the media, to portray us as racists, misogynists, and even terrorists. As a woman with Métis heritage, a mother and a grandmother, I am offended. The reality is that members of this freedom movement are average, peace-loving, and law-abiding citizens from all walks of life who are fed up with being disrespected and bullied by our government. We continue to see additional Canadians coming to Ottawa every day for peaceful demonstrations. We want to thank the hundreds of residents of Ottawa who have stepped forward to show their support, providing accommodations, food, and just plain friendship to members of our convoy. This love of community is what Canada is all about. Let me assure the people of Ottawa that we have no intent to stay one day longer than necessary. Our departure will be based on the Prime Minister doing what is right, ending all mandates and restrictions on our freedoms. We also want to thank the thousands of people who have so generously donated to this protest to GoFundMe. Over the last 3 days, our accountants and lawyers have been working hard to deal with the legal details. This morning, our lawyers sent GoFundMe all the details that they have asked for. I am confident that GoFundMe now has all the information needed to immediately lift the suspension they put on our campaign. I am hoping to hear from GoFundMe soon so that we can get the money to the truckers and keep our protest for freedom moving forward. I will be providing regular updates. I want to thank all Canadians from the bottom of my heart for our quest to restore our freedom.
My primary concern is individuals or groups with potential to deliberately instigate conflict with the Freedom Convoy movement in order to discredit the Freedom Convoy 2022. We've seen circulating messaging in the media and social media about people associated to the Freedom Convoy 2022 being arrested and charged. I have it on very reliable information that people from the movement were not associated, and that offenses related to property damage and just an assault this morning committed by agitators were witnessed and reported by a trucker and one of our volunteer security personnel. What I have seen with my own eyes, truckers and supporters of the movement feeding the homeless, maintaining cleanliness of city streets, centralized garbage collection, shoveling snow at the War Memorial and the Terry Fox statue, decorating those two locations, and providing security for those two locations. I expect that that level of commitment to the city of Ottawa and respecting our traditions in this country is just getting started.
So that was news you're not going to hear on mainstream media. CNN, ABC, TV are not going to report that. They're not going to report the truth because they're still working for Big Pharma to promote the mandates and all the other lines. Now, if you, as you heard, there are several countries who've already ended the mandate. What's up with the U.S. and Canada? Big Pharma has a big stronghold on this government and Canada's government. So we're going to maybe slowly see President Brandon Biden release and give back the freedom to people. But it may be so. Either way, it's our responsibility to take back our health. So I'm going to take another caller, 779. Let's see, 779-801. Your mic's open. Welcome to Health and Wellbeing with Beata. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Amazing. This is Maika from Pembroke Township. How are you today?
Welcome. I'm well. How about you? I'm enjoying the birds and the sun and good weather today. How about you?
Sounds like a joy. I'm looking at a beautiful snow.
Yay.
I was just laying back listening at you and the show, and thank you so much for the information that you do share in attempting to wake people up to take back their God consciousness, because it seems like people's God consciousness has been hijacked and we got to reclaim it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really perplexed sometimes when I think about how people are just falling to other people's control mechanism. When I was 19, I met a man, and he was a vegetarian, and he convinced me that I needed to stop eating meat, and I did. And that was the father of my first child. And from then on, it became health consciousness. You know, I'd read everything I could about health. And then when I met James Bevel, it was like he was health conscious also. And we began to grow food, so we lived in the country. I was away from a lot of what happens in the city. I was away from the music and everything, because we were all learning how to grow food and engaged in that process. So, you know, and when I think of my life, you know, I haven't even, you know, Naima mentioned a medicine cabinet, and I was thinking about the medicine cabinet. I said, I wonder what people have in their medicine cabinet. I don't have any pills in my medicine cabinet, you know.
Thank you.
I've never had pills in my medicine cabinet. I have things like the vitamin D and some Tashian and some Tiger Balm, stuff like that, but not medicine. I mean, I have medical insurance, but they're trying to force me to use it. I don't use it. You know, doctors prescribe medicines, but I say I don't want to waste y'all money because I'm not going to use it.
Right.
I'm not going to take your pills. I'm not taking no pills. I don't need your pills.
Right.
You know, and mandates, when people start talking about mandates, my consciousness says, who's going to mandate something to me? I'm a free citizen. I'm a sovereign being. Mandates are illegal. It automatically clicks in my head. Don't even pay attention to that craziness. But there are so many people who just tie right into it as if it's something real and you have to submit to it. And so it's just strange sometimes when I think about how other people's minds are just collapsing and they're not standing strong on their rights and their responsibilities to themselves. So I just wanted to share that because it's like that stuff is over my head. I don't even give cognizance. There's no cognizance to anybody attempting to control me and what I put in my body and what I wear or what I think or any of that. You know, it's like sovereignty is real, and taking full responsibility for it is a choice.
Yes.
And freedom is it's an individual choice. It's not a group choice. It's an individual choice.
Absolutely.
And we have to make it every day because somebody's going to show up every day trying to control you.
Yes,
so
yes.
Thank you, Viciata, for your strength.
Thank you
and
so much.
I really love it.
Thank you. That was a beautiful summary for today's show, because taking responsibility for your own health. And I think what you said is important, that you don't understand why people are so influenced by all this. The media, the TV. My son just bought this huge, another big screen TV, but he doesn't have cable. He doesn't watch the news, but we have YouTube and all those other entertainment. But people are watching CNN and MSNBC and all those. My dad used to sit in front of the TV when he was in his 90s and just click back and forth between MSNBC and CNN and Golf Channel and all that. And I realized why he had the ideas he had. He didn't like Trump and all that, because CNN told him to hate Trump and all other things he believed in his later years. So, yeah, I would say about the medicine cabinet, for me, in my experience as a health coach and over 30 years in the holistic field, two things that you really, really, really need in your health, in your medicine cabinet, if you want to take charge of your health. Number one, activated charcoal has saved my life.
I agree. I totally
because
agree.
I had so much gas at one time, and I realized a lot of it was emotional. My ex and I were together at the time, and I was just so gassy. My emotions I was full of anxiety and depression and all kinds of emotions, because I was with a man for almost 40 years that just wasn't complimenting me. He wasn't in unity. We didn't have the same beliefs. So I had a lot of gas. I was taking charcoal, and it would just clean up the gas every time. Mm-hmm. But I realized I needed to get a divorce, so the gas would stop. But the other thing would be peppermint oil. Peppermint oil, yeah. You can use that for pain, rubbing on your skin. And recently I was talking to an herbalist friend, and she said, for inflammation, which a lot of people have been dealing with in the last 2 years, is inflammation. You put a drop of peppermint oil in a glass and then pour water in it so it mixes up, and sip on that peppermint oil water, and it will relieve inflammation inside your body, as long as it's not emotionally rooted. Because, again, you can have all these symptoms in your body, but if you're not dealing with the fear, anger, anxiety, depression, bless you, Chelsea, for your story. All, if you're not dealing with the emotions, all those symptoms will continue. So bless you, Maika, for sharing that perfect summary for us. And we got to go now. So thank you, Indy. Let me find my thank you, Indy.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archive at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-mandates.
You can also hear today's show on the UK, Female Solutions, but they're getting rid of all the mandates.
www.facebook.com/the-female-solutions.
This is about
leave your comments about today's show.
Freedom Convoy 2022.
On my website at
www.freedomconvoy2022. Let's get on this on the train on the road with the truckers in our mind and our hearts. Freedom Convoy.
Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows.
Let's do this. Let's be unified.
Let's
talk to these government employees and remind them who they work for. Us.
We
don't work for them. We don't take their bullshit anymore. We need
to
promote freedom.
Global family,
let's say thank you.
We say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe.
Sheshe.
India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Jeong Kujung. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi.
Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jeret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.